Good morning. Good morning, church. Good morning, family. We're so glad that you're here this morning. We're glad that you're here in the building. We're glad you're watching with us online. And we are ready to worship together. We're so excited. So would you stand with us and worship the Lord? Jesus, we just praise you. We just give you praise. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Praise you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. Hallelujah. You have been given the name of Jesus. You have been given the name of Jesus. If you're a believer, he gave you his name. He gave you his authority to use his name. And we say the name of Jesus and things change. How many of you believe that? Amen. Amen. I could probably go around the room and you could all give me a testimony because y'all have done the name of Jesus, said the name of Jesus, and it is wonderful. You know, sometimes you can think you get caught up in an emotion. This is not an emotion. This is pretty powerful that you have the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, that's not what I'm preaching about this morning, so y'all can have a seat for a second, and then I'll praise God. Is Brian here? Okay. On to Brian. Brian's not here. All right. Praise the Lord. The incident season. Hallelujah. So glad to see you. Amen. Glad to be here. How many of you are glad to be here at church? Yeah. Yeah. You know, because if I was at home, I'd probably be doing something on my list. So I might as well, I'd rather come here. Forget the list. I'm going to come here. And, you know, part of coming and gathering, it actually is a command. Of course, you know, don't tell me what to do. But the Lord commands us to gather. So high five for obeying the Lord Jesus. And you are blessed when you obey him. Amen? Amen. We're going to... normally I say we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. We got this thing going on. So if you have prepared your tithes and offerings, you can give them in the back. You can also give online. You can also text. What else we got up there? Download the app. Praise God. You know, there's all different ways to give. But so I always say why. Everybody say why. Why is okay to ask? Why do we give? Why should you give? But that way, why? Well, it does a lot of things, but first and foremost, when I choose to give, I am saying, you are Lord of my life, and I honor you. And we got a lot of discussion going on, kneel, stand, honor this, honor that. This is one of those. No discussion. So if you just raise your hand. Father, we honor you. You are the giver of life. You have brought us new life, and every good thing comes from you. So how could we not honor you in giving back, sowing back, lifting back, presenting, whatever words you like, we present these tithes and offerings to you. And we do it with joy because you love us. And we call this blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody say, I'm blessed. I'm really blessed. Just a few little things. In front of you is this Connect card. And I was trying to get hold of somebody, and we have a church database. It's called Power Church. And the way you get in that, and I couldn't find this person. They weren't in the church database. So you need to fill this out, print. Hallelujah. So I don't have to believe for interpretation. Print your name, address, email, cell phone number. You don't have to give me your PIN number. It's okay. God knows it. All right. But a lot of you, I do not have your current information. All right. So could you please do that? That one's that one. That one's that one. Oh, okay. All right. So see you at the poll. Is September 23rd. Whatever school district you're in, check your schools to find out. Shoo, baby, just stand at your poll. You don't need... Okay, be nice, Pastor D. I am so excited to be back and preaching. But, you know, gather at your poll and pray for your school. Pray for the administrators. Pray for the big boys and girls that are making some decisions in your school. And you can gather and pray for your school year. So, but check it out. It's a little different this year. Okay, everybody say 52. 52 days to election. All right. And you need to register by October 19th. Mail-ins are October 27th. And election day is November 3rd. And you have been given a right a privilege to make decisions. Sometimes I don't always get the way I want, but listen, I get to vote. You get to vote. So please do that. All right. I had mailed away for voter registrations that we were going to put in the back, and I didn't get them yet. But anyway. Okay. Where's my gang? Is middle school today? Middle school is today. Middle schoolers? It's a JV. Excuse me. Excuse me. Didn't mean to insult you. Whoa. JV, stand up. Let's praise the Lord for him. Hallelujah. Now go. You keep going. JV, go ahead downstairs. JV, go downstairs. Thank you. Praise God. I was talking to a lady who's a little bit older than I am. She goes, man, we used to call them middle schoolers. Now you can't call them that. I was like, yeah, you're right. They're JV. Okay, junior high. Children's church. That's first grade through fourth. You're going down. You're going down. You're going down. Hallelujah. And preschool, drum roll, brrr, preschool, you're going down, you're going down, you're going down. All right. All righty. That's cool. All right. I have one more thing. And where is it? Also, in front of you is a blue volunteer. Everybody say volunteer. Volunteer. That means I don't make you. I make my kids used to do a lot of things. They didn't volunteer. Do you know all my kids? I had to make them. We used to come to church and clean once a month. You know, well, you were signed once a month. How many of you are merry maids? Merry maids. That's how Brenton met his wife. Gee, well, so funny. Okay. But, we really do like volunteers. And because of the last six, seven, what month are we on? We've had some changes go on here, but we are looking for, greeters. Now, some of you are like, well, I don't like to shake hands or hug. Baby, this is your job now. You don't have to shake hands or hug because we're asking you to wear a mask to be respectful temporarily. All right, so you can sign up for be a greeter. You're the first person that walks in and all you go is, hi, good morning. What else? Glad you're here. What else? Welcome. What else? High five, air five. Okay, so you can sign up. All right, just check it off. All righty. Bookstore. My bookstore is temporarily needing some helpers, volunteers. It's real easy. You sit at the desk and they come up and they pay for their book. Real simple. It's not hard. All right. Maintenance. There's a zillion things to do for maintenance. You can volunteer. And, okay. So put this in. Let's fill that out. Praise the Lord. I think I need a drink of water. All right. Let's pray. Father, you are wonderful. I read that in my Bible. Maybe even sang it. And you are faithful. You're always good. And you have given us Jesus, who is the living word. And today, Father, I declare that your word will go forth and enter our hearts. We say, come into my heart and change me. Help me see, be the light into my path, that I might fulfill all the greatness you've planned out for me. I have ears to hear, and I will be a doer of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. All right. Switching.
All right. Am I on? I'm on. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So I have been away for a little bit, and then Pastor Sherry, it's like pushing in line. It's like I call shotgun. How many know what that means? And my kids pushing, I call shotgun. One time I had one dive through the window because they were going to get shotgun. Well, it's kind of like that with Pastor Sherry and I. And I was like, get out of my way. I want to preach today. So I sent her out of town so she couldn't jump through the window. Okay. All right. Prior to Pastor Sherry, how many of you enjoy Pastor Sherry? Somebody said to me, well, Pastor D, she's not you. I was like, thank God. She's different in every way. Okay. So just enjoy different. And, besides, you're not allowed to have favorites. Read what the Apostle Paul shames. No, you're not allowed to have favorites. So just say, oh, there's my favorite today. And the next time it's my favorite. Okay. So, praise the Lord.
prior to Pastor Sherry filling the pulpit for 3 weeks, we were doing a series called Red Letter. Okay, Red Letter is what? It is things that you read in your Bible that Jesus said. All right? And if you have one of those Bibles, they're actually typed up in red. Okay? All right? And you can find Red Letter where? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, parts of Acts, and parts of Revelation. The book of Revelation. What? Read your Red Letter. Okay? So we're going to talk about Red Letter, and I have to think, anytime I see Red Letter, that's Jesus. So I think it's not just there to take up space. It's there because it's important. What Jesus says is important, okay? So week number one, we talked to where Jesus said, Red Letter, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. All right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And actually, some guy said, well, okay, you know, when you get sassed, okay, your shoulders and your hips are moving. Well, who is my neighbor? And he's like, ching, ching, ching. So Jesus answers them and he says, it's anybody who's hurting is your neighbor. Anybody that's hurting. And he goes and tells a story about a guy who had been beaten up, robbed, beaten, left on the side of the road, was about ready to die. And then in the story goes that two religious people, two of the guys that should know better, saw him, and they're like, I'm going over here. They walked by him. You know, they walked by him. They didn't want to mess with him. You know, and people are messy. Nobody's smiling. That means you must be a mess today, and you're not smiling. Okay, so people are messy, but Jesus says, hey, listen, you're to love your neighbor. And you simply have to, what does that mean? Just ask God, when you see somebody hurting, what is my part? All right, what is my part? And it doesn't mean you're giving out millions of dollars to that person that you pass by. Could be you're praying for them. It could be, you know, all sorts of things. But you go, okay, moving. Week number two, we said, talked about where Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God should be our mentality all the time. What? I'm seeking God. I'm seeking God. I'm seeking God. We're actually going to talk a little bit about that today. And my third week, we talked about Jesus the healer. And if you weren't here, you missed one, go on YCF.com. You can listen to it. You can watch it. Just go, you know, take advantage of it. So today, here we go. Today, we're going to talk about what is a disciple? Oh, I can just tell you just love that. I can tell by all the praise God, hallelujah. That's wonderful, Pastor D. Yeah. Okay, just fake it, would you? Just make me feel good, would you? Okay. So when we're going to talk about what is a disciple. When I think about this message, it's one of those messages where you grow. It is a message where you grow. Everybody say grow, okay? It's going to make us grow, all righty? Now, no-brainer, if you want to be better at something, you're going to have to grow, right? You're going to have to grow, all right? And growth, how many found out? Growth is not fun. Growth is not pretty, all righty? It most of the time, and you know, that's that word change, 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 and I'm like, ah! All right, growth a lot of times isn't just delightful, okay? And I can use a sports analogy. If you want to be better, if you want to be a better football starts tonight, if you want to be a better football player, there's going to have to be some growth. And it doesn't come like you're sitting around tonight and you're like watching the game and you're seeing the players and you start critiquing them. And then your wife, you go, hey, honey, you know, 10 years ago, I could have been on the field doing better than they did. And your wife, who loves you, just rolls her eye, walks out of the room. Professionals, they're professionals, they're professionals, okay? Why? Okay, because, you know, it is real easy to sit on the sideline viewpoint and start critiquing. And you're not critiquing yourself, you're usually critiquing everybody else. Isn't it easy to do that? All right? It is, it really is. But let me tell you, being a disciple is totally different than sitting on the sideline and critiquing. So we want to talk about and find out what a disciple is. Now, let me give you a little background. When Jesus said, and we're going to turn over to Luke chapter 14, just open up there, we'll get to read it in a little bit. But when Jesus said about being a disciple, everybody that heard him, they knew what that was. Okay? They knew what he was talking about. Okay? Because back then, they already were disciples. A lot of them were disciples. All right? So, now, and it's really, you know, it's real interesting. Sometimes you'll read in your Bible, you're reading your Bible, and it's like, wing, wing, because I didn't understand what the culture was or the meaning was. So let me tell you the meaning. When he said disciple, there were and there was a bunch of disciples. And the two main groups, and there were some more, but the two main groups were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were a bunch of religious guys, and they adhered to the law. And 600 rules on top of that. Man, I'm just trying to go down East Berlin Road and obey the speed limit, let alone 600 things, okay, on the morning. So they, this group had disciples. This group of Pharisees and Sadducees had disciples, okay? And this is what it would be like if someone said, hey, there's Joe Schmo. He's a disciple of so-and-so, okay? And that's how you knew who they were. Or you would say, oh, there's Mary. I know Mary. She's a disciple of so-and-so, okay? And why they would say that is that they followed whatever that person taught. And, y'all write this one down, and they lived what that person taught. So these were disciples. All right? And put your seatbelt on. Guess what? We have disciples today in the world. We have disciples today in the world, okay? And some of you are disciples of people. Like you're a disciple of Dave Ramsey. Raise your hand if you know who Dave Ramsey is. Oh, good, good, good. Okay. Well, I don't want to be a disciple of anybody but Jesus. Disciple means a follower, okay? Just take a breath, smile. Disciple means a follower, okay? So if you have gotten your finances in order, if you have gotten out of debt, anybody want to do that? Don't raise your hand, okay? Guess what? These are people that are disciples of Dave Ramsey, excuse me. They have sat under his teaching and they're following it. That's not a bad thing, right? And by the way, Dave Ramsey's teachings, he's got lots of books and stuff like that. They're all principles right out of the Bible. Yeah, yep. And that's a good thing, all righty? So, by the way, I'm telling you, that would be a great grow group. But I will warn you, it will be painful to your flesh. Okay? Matter of fact, some people that I know, I'm trying not to do names and names. Some people I know just went and did this. And we were out and they're like, well, we don't use credit cards. What? Okay. And I like, they are disciples of Dave Ramsey. And what had happened is their debt was going wah, 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 wah. And they said, that's it. We're going to do the painful thing. And they were telling me how much money that they are, you know, being wise in. Okay, sidetrack. Okay, back in focus. So let me also say this. There are some people here that you are disciples of what we would call Christian leaders in this world. Okay, Christian biggies in the world, all right? And if you were to talk to them, they wouldn't say, well, I'm a disciple of, because, you know, we don't want to say that. But they simply means they're a follower, okay? They're a follower. Praise the Lord. So here's what I want you to understand, and it's sort of, I was telling the guys in the sound booth, I think I got two main ideas today, so just write everything down. But here's the biggie that you got to get. We are to follow first and foremost, who? Amen. Amen. We are to be a follower of Jesus first, okay? And I don't want this to be a D. Cashman disciple church. Come on, all right? Because if I can't point you to him, there's something wrong, right? Should be pointing to you, all righty? So we want to be a disciple, and a disciple is someone who has Jesus first, all right? Now, that's just easy. It's going to get the grow part in a few minutes, all righty? So why am I kind of laying a foundation? When Jesus speaks this red letter terminology about disciple, they all knew what he was talking about when he said, hey, you need to be this disciple. Hey, you need to be a disciple of me. They're like, okay, Okay. Okay. All right. And some of you are like, Pastor D, I'm good. I got this. I follow Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Listen to this. Remember the story? I think it's found in John chapter 5, towards the end. John chapter 5, Jesus is walking along with his disciples, the big 12, plus a whole bunch of followers, which aka/disciples. So he's walking around with this bunch, this crowd. And, you know, Jesus is really good about throwing little bomb explosions. Just knocks you and makes you think. And he whips around and he says, there will come a day, y'all, when you will eat my flesh and drink my blood. And a bunch of them said, oh, tap out. We're out. We're not. Well, this is weird. And the Bible says a whole bunch of them stopped. Everybody say stop. Following Jesus. Okay. So this is a little grow part here. Alrighty. Alrighty. So this is, you know, again, this is a message that it's good. It puts a little pressure on you to grow. And our vision is to gather, grow, and go. And the grow is grow in your relationship with Jesus. Not grow with your relationship with me. Grow in your relationship here, this way, all right? And really, I think I really believe as a church, our goal, our continual goal is to make disciples, not of me, but of Jesus, okay? And by the way, that's your mission, you'll find out later, too. All right. So that is our goal. All right. And if you're new to church and you're like, I don't know what she is talking about, just take a deep breath. It's okay. We'll get to it. Okay. I'm going to define what a disciple is, and then we're going to talk about what Jesus says a disciple is. All right. What Jesus says. So y'all at Luke chapter 14. All right. This is red letter. All right. I didn't write this. Jesus writes this. And you know, anybody excited about this? You might be, you might not be, you might not be sure, okay, you just need another cup of coffee, okay. But listen, I think back to when I first received Jesus. I wish I knew this. I wish I knew the difference between Jesus as Savior and Jesus as Lord. It would have put a little fire in me a little bit better, okay. Because listen, raise your hand if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life. Awesome, right? Amazing, miraculous, wonderful, okay? But there has to come a point in your life where you say, Jesus, I am now going to put you or take you or make you or whatever that word is as Lord and not just Savior, all right? There should come a time and I'm going to help you, okay? There needs to be a time where you say, Jesus, I put you as Lord of my life, all right? So Savior is great. What happened when I received him as Savior? It was really simple. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I surrender my life. And he forgave me all of my sins. Awesome. Incredible. I had eternal life. Someday I'm going to die and go to heaven. And he set me free. Those are wonderful. Salvation is wonderful. Everybody say, salvation is wonderful. It is. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But being a disciple is when you put him first as Lord. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. Yep. I didn't know that for a lot of years, okay? I wish I would have known this. So Jesus is Lord. So write this down. You know what this means? Jesus is Lord. And it's being a disciple where Jesus is Lord means you're a disciple, vice versa, okay? It means his word is outweighs anybody else's. Because, you know, we give a lot of excuses for things that we do. Like you kind of tear pages out of the Bible. Okay. But when you are a disciple, when Jesus is Lord, his word outweighs anybody else's. All righty. Now, sometimes I look at people and they kind of scare me. All right. Cause they'll say they put so much weight on what a person said and they don't put weight on what Jesus said. And I'm talking about believers. They put so much weight on what people says, and Jesus is like, you know, okay? So a disciple is first, his word is first. Everybody say first. Man, it's good, okay? More than his word is more than anybody else. Praise God. All right, Luke chapter 14, verse 25. I didn't get lost. I know where we are. Here we go. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must by comparison hate everyone." Everybody say hate. Some of you just found your favorite scripture. Ta-da! He says I can hate. Okay. No. And we'll get into a little bit more. But hate there, and you need to write that down. It means to love less than. To love less than. We'll get into that a little bit more. So I just want to get you straight. Jesus isn't saying you get to hate. Matter of fact, it's just counter, just the opposite, all right? So let's keep reading. You must hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife, children, brother, sisters, yes, even your own self. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. So guys, what he's saying, there's some stuff you need to do to be his disciple, right? All right? And one of them is hate, to love less. Okay, let's just get that right, all right? So let's keep reading verse 27. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Jump down to verse 33. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up. A lot of translations will say forsake. Anybody's Bible say forsake? Okay. So give up, forsake everything you own. So according to Jesus, being a disciple looks a lot different than some books I've read that Christians wrote. Okay, it's not how many podcasts you listen to. It's not how many books you listen to. And guys, I read, you come to my house, my coffee table is overflowing with books, you know, and my end tables and my nightstands. I read a lot of stuff and I listen to, Sherry and I crack up, when I leave church, I go to church. I will go and listen to other podcasts, all right? I do a lot of that. But listen, that doesn't make me a disciple. Or gets quiet around here. Coming to church doesn't make you a disciple. All right? Lock the door, so. But listen, those are all good things to have in your life as a disciple. Matter of fact, they're kind of very important, all right? They're all important things to do, but it doesn't mean you're a disciple. All righty? So, first and foremost, to be a disciple is I am going to Jesus first and follow what he says. Jesus first and follow what he says. Jesus first, do what he says. Right? All right. And that's how you become a true disciple. So taking notes, how do you become a true disciple? Jesus is first and I follow his word. His word is the weight in my life. Praise God. Turn back to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Let me read another scripture going on with this. Then he said to all of them, we're at Luke 9, 23. Then he, Jesus, said to all of them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. All right. I have listened to a bunch of people explain Christianity. This is what Christianity is. And I'm listening, and I'm like, sounds like behavior modification. Anybody know what that is? Behavior modification. Christianity, being a disciple, is not behavior modification. And just because I can get your spouse to start acting a little nice, your wife, your husband, it doesn't mean poo, okay? You want transformation in people. True followers of Jesus will be transformed, and it's from the inside out. And okay, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but the way to be transformed, not just behavior mod, okay, is to, one, Jesus, you are first. Your word is first. I take your word. Oh, that means you read his word. That means you do his word, okay? So his word is first. I take his word and I follow him, aka I become a disciple. That's how you get transformed. That's how you get transformed. Otherwise, you know, nobody here has been sitting here taking up space doing nothing. That's somebody else, right? Okay? But that's what will happen. You just sit and you just, all right? So, you want your marriage transformed? Guess what? Transformation comes, change comes when you say, God, your word is most important. What Jesus said, I am going to put in my life and do? That's how you get change in any area of your life. Okay? You have to put in a, and that's what we call being doer of the word. Right? All righty. So back up. Jesus says, hey, you want to be my disciples? You need to do some things. And remember, they understood that word disciple. They knew what he was talking about. Right away, they're like, yep. Okay. So let me give you a definition of disciple. If you're taking notes, write this down just so we get on the page here. Disciple means one who follows a teacher and his teaching. I'm like, well, duh, Pastor D, I can figure that out. But write that down anyway, okay? A disciple is one who follows teachings and the teacher and the teaching. And to the extent he becomes a doer of those teachings and a radical follower. Everybody in this place, your personality is all different. But some of you heard that word, radical, and you're thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to be a radical Christian today. Yep, I'm going to get the biggest Bible, and I'm going to carry a cross, and I'm going to go to work today, and I'm going to pick up my cross and follow Jesus. No, you're a flake, okay? Not. That is not radical, okay? Please, okay? Radical simply means the world says, hey, you go this way. And Jesus says, this is the way you live your life, okay? And you do that. That's becoming radical, all right? So, you know, we got a lot of hate going on. And Jesus says, aside from the scripture, but really he says to love your neighbor. That is totally opposite to the world right now. That is radical. You go walking around loving people the way God tells you, when he tells you, how he tells you, you are radical. Everybody say, I'm a radical Christian. Yay! Praise the Lord, okay? And I think about being radical. You know, being Jesus, you're first. Your word is first and foremost. And then I ought to be impacting everybody in my neighborhood. I live by myself, so I'd say your family, but I live by myself, okay? I impact myself. Okay, in your community, wherever you go. And people should say, wow, you really are different. That's a compliment. You really love different, all right? And I'm believing as a church, that's what we're doing. I'm believing, I'm speaking it, okay? And why? Because we want to be like Jesus. Real simple. Let me read you this quote. I forgot where I got it. So usually you have to write down who it was, but I pulled it out of a book and I don't know which one. So, but listen to this. Discipleship is not about how much Bible you know. Amen. It's all about the Bible you live. Right? So I run into people all the time with this mentality. All the time. Okay, they're not here. They're someone else's church, right? And they go, oh, I can't do this for Jesus because I just don't know enough yet. I can't go and do anything because I don't know enough yet. Alrighty? Listen, guys. People are not impressed with all the scriptures you quote. Matter of fact, they're kind of irritated. Right? Yeah. And I got to watch it because I'm like, let me give it to you. All right. Listen, they are impressed by the way you live. Live. Everybody say live. All right. Live like Jesus did. All righty. Now think about the Apostle Paul. Jesus calls him in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, Jesus calls Paul. Paul was not on the white hat side. He was wearing the black hat. He was like the bad guy. And he has an encounter with Jesus Christ. He gets knocked off his high horse. And Jesus talks to him and tells him of what he's called to do and the great things he's going to do. Paul didn't know really anything about Jesus, right? I was going to say he hadn't read his New Testament, but really Paul writes half of the New Testament. But listen, he didn't know anything yet. And he, from that moment on, that moment when he had an encounter with Jesus, we would say he received Jesus into his life, and he really did, okay? He just started telling everybody everything he knew, which was not a whole lot. It's probably like three sentences, right? All right. So listen, guys, stop going, oh, I can't do this for the Lord. I can't do that. I can't do that. Just jump in with little, you know, tell your story, walk in love. All right. And God will start growing you. I remember years ago, we used to do school of ministry. Anybody remember school of ministry? So this lady had come to church on a Sunday. She receives Jesus into her life, and she hears the advertisement for School of Ministry. School of Ministry was on Thursday night. All right. And you had to do homework too. It was really cute. Okay. And she says, can I sign up for that? Now my head right away, because I was a little dumber back then, well, you haven't even figured out who Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is. You don't know anything. No, we just threw her in. She didn't know anything except for she had asked Jesus into her life on Sunday, and you got a school that I can grow and know him more. All right. So don't make excuses. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay. So let's wrap up this way. It's not a wrap up time, but I got some time, but let's finish up this way. Like, don't jump. So in Luke chapter 14 and chapter 19, Jesus says four things to be a disciple. So I want to talk about those four things. Okay. The first one is to hate, right? Hate means to love less. The second one was to deny yourself. Y'all should be writing this down. The third one is to forsake. And the last one was pick up your cross and follow him. So we have hate, deny, forsake, pick up your cross. Now, all of those words are very religious to people, all right? And they used to be to me, all righty? Such as I've heard people say, you know, I have to pick up my cross of sickness and carry it for Jesus. You didn't read your Bible. Jesus said he bore sickness away from you, carried it away. And yet religion, and if I'm not beating on you if you've said this, okay? It just means religion has beat this into you. I have to carry this cross of sickness for the Lord. Baloney, 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 right? Right? Okay. So, and this broke my heart. Years ago, I was sitting down with this woman and, she had a child. She has a child, but the child was really young, who was born with Down syndrome. Okay. And she said, this is the cross God gave me to bear. I was like, whoa. No, God did not put that on your child so that could be your cross. Bad teaching. Read your Bible. Okay. Praise God. All right. So by the way, by the time we finish, you will know what it means to pick up your cross. And you might find out you've been picking up things you're not supposed to be picking up. Amen. That'd be good. Let's just clean out the junk. All righty. Because listen, Jesus carried things away for us. He lifted weights off us. He set us free. So another sermon. Here we go. Number one that Jesus said, red letter, okay, red letter, you need to be a disciple, you need to hate. And we said hate means to love less than. Well, what are you hating and loving less than? It's all about relationships. It's about relationships, right? He says you're to hate your mother, hate your father, hate your brother, sister, okay? Now, that's kind of strong when you first hear that, and you don't know what that word means. You're like, whoa. Some days I'm like, yes, I get to hate him, but you know, I've been around a block that I knew that's not what he meant. Okay. But so again, in the Greek, that word hate means to love less than. So you know what he just said though? You need to love me first. Really simple. Really simple. I need to be first. Okay. And then your mom, your dad, your brothers, whatever order they're coming. All right. But Jesus has to be first. Everybody say Jesus is first. Okay. Now, here's a little more background so you get the full picture. When this was written, they understood covenant. Anybody hear the word covenant? Some of you have studied this. We've talked about it before in the past. Covenant. Okay. And covenant, is sort of like a contract. But then again, it's not, because we break contracts all the time, right? Okay, but a covenant that God made is not breakable. God makes covenants, and he doesn't break them. And he made covenants with Jesus. He made covenants with Abraham. He makes covenants with you, and he doesn't break his covenant. Or, you know, get your head into like a contract. He doesn't do that, all righty? So why I'm saying this, back then, by the way, there's a really cool book by E.W. Kenjin called The Blood Covenant. Just a little mini book, super good. It'll go into more of that. Ready? But back then, a small nation, a weak nation, would make a covenant with a big, mighty nation. You know, that had more people and stronger people. They'd make a covenant, a contract, a covenant, right? All right? And the strong nation, if they made a covenant with the weak nation, then they would be their protectors. pretty cool, right? And so the big, strong nation would watch out. If someone tried attacking them, the big, big, mighty, monstrous nation would come in and they'd take care of the little nation. Okay, that's part of covenant. That's what was going on. And because of that, they loved the big nation. Like, yeah, right? No brainer. I love them. They're protecting me. To the point that they were very loyal to the big nation, the small guys, okay? Not the small, little ones, all right? And they didn't have loyalty to a whole bunch of other nations. Why? That defeats the purpose. I got the biggest nation with the most amount of people, the most resources. I don't need you little guys. I got one. I am loyal to one. Sound like our gospel? I am loyal to him. I am loyal to Jesus, to his word. He is first, right? Sounds like our gospel. Okay. Anyway, but here comes a problem, all right? I'm telling you a story so you get this. The small nation broke the covenant. Okay, now, but I'm going to back up. That was not a term that they would use. They didn't say, hey, you broke the covenant with us. Okay, what they would say is, you hate us. They would say, so if the small nation broke the covenant with the big nation, they wouldn't say, you don't love us anymore. They would say, you hate us. And the reason why, in the beginning, we were first. And now you hate because we're not first. All right. So what does that have to do with us? Well, a whole lot. But let me turn my page here so I make sure I say all this. Okay. So when Jesus says, you can't love your mother, your father, your brother. You can't love them more. And he said, more than hate, more than, he says, because you need to love me first. Love him first. And we're going to talk about what that looks like. But everybody say, I love him first. Everybody else is less than. They're less than, but he's first, all righty? So how does this practically, you know, a good Bible teaching, Pastor D, you're just having so much fun, but what do I do with that? Where's the practical side? Okay, practical. Anybody that's here today, anybody that's listening, you may not like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You are a drifter. You ever been on a boat and you didn't put an anchor down? Okay? You're going to be drifting, okay? You'll drift unless you do something. I would say put the anchor down, but for the sake of our message, unless you say, no, Jesus, you're first. Your word is first. It outweighs everybody else. And I do what you say. If you don't do that, you're going to drift. You're going to drift, okay? All right? So I don't like drifting. And you'll probably raise your hand if you've ever seen that. I've seen people who get born again. They've asked Jesus to be Lord of their life. That means born again. Okay, they ask him, and then they leave Jesus, high and dry. And then they come back. Now, I'm not talking about come to church, go to church, come back, blah, 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 blah. I'm not talking about that. But people that receive Jesus, and then they drift, and they leave Jesus. And then they come back, and then I usually get the phone call, Pastor D, pray for me. I'm so sorry. Guys, you don't have to be repentant to me. I'm good. Okay, but you need to get this with Jesus, all right? And besides, he's the one that said he'll never leave you or forsake you. That's who he is, all righty? So, unless you do something, you will drift. And do as he is first, his word is first. I'm going to do his word, all righty? So, first and number one, the thing you have to do is hate. That means Jesus is first. We're taking notes. Number two, here we go. Jesus said you have to deny yourself. Number two, to be a disciple, you have to deny yourself. All righty. Now, oh gosh, that sounds like so much fun. Pastor D, just love that. Deny myself. Woohoo. No, it really doesn't sound good. But write this down. Deny means to say no. To say no. That's to deny. Okay, so what Jesus is saying, you have to say no to yourself. You have to say no to yourself. All righty? Now, have you ever read your Bible and you thought, this is nuts, Jesus? And to be honest, I'm reading this, I'm like, for real? Now I hate to love less. And now you say, if you want to be my disciple, I have to deny myself? Are you kidding me? Okay, but listen, all he's saying is, you have to say no to do some of the things you want to do that Jesus says, that's not good to do. So you're going to deny yourself and not go this way. You're going to go this way. Case in point. Let me give you an example. Not me, of course. So you're on your social media and you read somebody's post and you're like, and your spouse walks in and you go, hey, honey, what do you think about this? And you're like ready to press the button and they're like, nope. Aren't you glad for your spouses? Okay. All right. Okay. Because what would Jesus do? All righty. Some of you are like, I don't care. I do it all the time. I rant all the time. Well, that's the problem. All right. We need to deny ourselves some of these things. All righty. And usually it's the thing for me. It's what comes out of my mouth. Jeez Louise. All right. Those are the things I got to go. Don't say that. All righty. So deny yourself is going, nope, I'm not going to do that. I am a follower. I am a disciple. And Jesus, I want to live like he does. And I know he doesn't want me to do that. So I'm not going to do that. Instead of, or like this one, you get up this morning, it's Sunday morning, it's beautiful, it's nice outside. How many have windows open at your house? Gee, I love it. Okay. Okay. So, and your spouse says something and you're like, meh, and you're ready to have a comeback. Nobody ever does that, right? Okay. Or your teen. Okay. It's not your spouse. It's your teenager. And you're ready to have a comeback. Or, I'm just going to look at the ceiling. Or you read something the president wrote and you're ready to have a comeback and write something evil. Okay. All right. But listen, getting the last word, putting your post in does not make you not good. This is just not good. You don't get any lollipops downstairs. Okay. All righty. Okay. And it's actually showing that you're not denying yourself when you do that. All righty. So when you don't, you deny yourself of those moments of pleasure. Okay. And you go, no, I'm a follower. Okay. Amen. All righty. Turn over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Moving along. We're talking about denying yourself. Luke 22, verse 41 and 42. This is Jesus. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. He's at the Garden of Gethsemane. He's getting ready to be arrested and crucified and die for us, okay? And he knelt down and prayed, and he said, verse 42, ready? Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine, okay? So listen, guys. When you deny yourself, this is all about denying yourself. When you deny yourself, you say no to your flesh. Okay, let me say it better. When you deny yourself, you say no to crazy desires. Raise your hand if you've ever had a crazy desire. Raise your hand if you had one today while you're sitting in church. Okay, crazy desires, okay? I was with some people. And, you know, we talked about COVID, and then we talked about politics, and this person who I've known, who's a Christian, says, somebody ought to shoot that lady. No names. I looked at her. She was real serious. I thought, crazy thought, crazy desire, and you need to deny yourself. You need to deny yourself even of that thought. Come on, people. The Bible talks about that, right? Let alone. Okay, so. How many of you get crazy thoughts, crazy desires, right? You get them, all right? But we need to deny ourselves, and that simply means saying no, no, no. And we'll get into more of that. Now we won't. We don't have time. All right. So number one, Jesus says you need to hate, to love less. Number two, he says deny. That means to say no. Number three, Jesus says to be my disciple, to be a true disciple. Guess what you have to do next? Forsake everything. Wow, that sounds like fun, Pastor D. Woohoo! Okay, listen to this. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. We read this before. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Okay, you have to forsake everything? All right, so I need to give you a definition what that means. Forsake. This is a goodie. You need to write it down. It means to rearrange everything in a different order. Okay? Rearrange everything in a different order. And it's not I forsake my job. Monday morning, you get your behindy up there. Okay? It's not what he's talking about. Right? He's talking about rearrange everything in a different order. How many of you like to make lists? I have a list. I have lists on lists. Okay? I was talking to Brenton about, what was the holiday last weekend? Labor Day. Okay? And he said, I made a list of like 26 things and I got 70 things. How many did you get done? Yeah. Okay. You know, we make lists and then we just, we like to get things in order and we do lists. All right. But can I tell you this? Do this first. Ready? Real simple. Put him first. Make your list. Everybody make lists. If you don't have lists, I'll give you lists. Okay. Y'all should have lists. Okay. I love lists. All right. Pastor Sherry's even worse. Golly, she's so funny. Color coded. Okay. So put God first. And we talked about that a couple weeks back when we said, seek first the kingdom of God. And all that means is, hey, I'm going to get a list. I'm going to put things in order, but first he's first. All right. This is, how do you put him first? Somebody blare out something. I get up in the morning and I get my Bible. That's first. I like to do it at night. Not saying anything. Okay, so I think family, spouse, kids, they all need to be top on your list, right? They need to be. But Jesus should be first, all right? And you want to be a better husband? You want to be a better wife? Maybe it's time to arrange things in a different order so you'll be able to. Amen? Okay. So Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you need to forsake. Rearrange things differently, alrighty? Now, this is why I'm going to tell you this. This is why I am telling you this. Jesus is smart. He's a genius, right? He's like he put the smart on the planet, right? And he wisdom. By the way, he is wisdom, right? How many of you agree with me? He's wisdom, okay? And Jesus knew if you did not